welcome to our Biblical Eldership Resources. I hope you're finding this website helpful and very encouraging to your pastoral leadership. Today we're going to look at one of the most important passages of Scripture that deals with defining biblical eldership. So I want you to take your Bibles right now and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, "You shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain," and the laborer deserves his wages. I have entitled this series, First Among Equals, or Leaders Among Leaders. And this is an extremely important concept, and it is a biblical concept. One time I was with an internationally known author and theologian. You would know his name if I gave you his name. And I asked him, I said, "What about the elders who labor in word and doctrine?" And he looked at me to say, "That is not what elders do." And all of a sudden he caught himself and he was trying to fumble around. He knew there's something in the Bible about that. And I said, that's 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18. The elders who labor in preaching and teaching. Oh, he says, "Oh yes, yes, I remember that verse." You see, 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18 don't fit in the mental concept that most people have of elders or of the church. And so when you talk about elders laboring in preaching and teaching or leading well, they think of elders as board members, temporary three-year board members who just advise the pastor, or maybe they make financial decisions or church decisions, but they don't shepherd people. I want to remind you something that we are doing throughout this entire website, and that is this: restoring biblical eldership. Biblical eldership is shepherding eldership. Both the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul tell us elders shepherd the church. So we're thinking of shepherd elders, not board elders. And if you want more information on this, just look on the search window and you can look for 1 Peter 5 or Acts chapter 20. And we go into this in depth. It's not our purpose here, but it's shepherd elders that we are talking about. Now, the first command is this: the church's duty to honor its elders. Chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Actually, it goes to verse 19, but we're only going to cover 17 and 18 in this short series. The church's duty to honor its elders. Now, I want you to notice that the instruction is to Timothy and to the congregation. This is the congregation's responsibility to its church elders. First thing he says is this: honor those who lead well. All elders lead, but some lead well. Now, the verb for rule, my Bible says rule, is prohistemi. And it means in a context like this to lead, to guide, or even to care for, to manage, direct. Now, many English Bibles, like mine, says the elders who rule well. That is too strong of an English translation. We have Greek words for the word rule. Here the idea is to guide and to direct. The NIV is very good when it says the elders who direct the affairs of the church. Or we could translate this, those who exercise leadership well. The idea here is of effective shepherding leadership or effective household leadership. He's talking about those who serve with distinction and proficiency. They exercise their leadership in a very faithful way, and they need to be acknowledged for this. They're good organizers and motivators. They're the kind of people who get things done. They follow through. They're effective in their leadership of people. Moreover, they give time and they make more sacrifices. This is just a fact among a group of elders. Some just give more time and effort, and they have great skill in the management and the direction of the church. Probably this kind of elder has the gift of leadership. If you will look at Romans 12, 8, in a list of spiritual gifts, one of the spiritual gifts is leadership. Paul says, the one who leads with zeal. In other words, he says, if you have the gift of leadership, same Greek word, prohistemi, as we have in 1 Timothy 5, 17, if you have the gift of leadership, then do it with zeal. Do it wholeheartedly. Put all your effort into it. do a good job at it. That's exactly what Paul is saying to the church. Those who put their full effort into it and use zeal and competency, they are to receive double honor for this work. So, it is the church's responsibility to acknowledge and honor such men. Now, the second group he talks to is honor those who labor in preaching and in teaching. The elders to whom Paul refers are identified by two qualifying clauses: those who lead well and those who labor in preaching and in teaching. Now, there's two ways to interpret this. Some expositors look at the adverb, especially as we give it in English, as normally it's used above all, or especially, or particularly. So, the elders who lead well are to receive double honor, but especially, above all, those elders who labor in preaching and teaching. But there's another way this adverb can be used, and that is sort of like an equal sign, or we could say it to be precise, or I mean, in other words, that is. So he's saying the elders who lead well, I mean those who labor in preaching and teaching. So it's the same group he's talking about. I'm going to stay with the first alternative, especially, above all. This is the way most English translations take it, and I think it's the more normal way to do this. So he is saying this to the congregation, to Timothy: let the elders who lead well be considered worthy of double honor, but particularly, above all, those who labor in preaching and in teaching. Now, he uses a very strong word here, labor. They labor in preaching and in teaching. This word has the idea of working to the point of weariness. A person is tired. We would even use this word for manual labor, like a person digging a ditch. But here it's used for the activity of teaching. Let me remind you that teaching is hard work. If you're not a teacher, you probably think it is the easiest job in the world. But if you think it's easy, ask any school teacher. They will tell you teaching is work. It's hard work. To labor at preaching and teaching means long hours of study, which many people cannot do. It means preparation, demanding teaching situations. It's absorbing work. It's mentally strenuous. It's time-consuming. It demands strength. It demands a lot of self-discipline to sit down and spend the time you need. And so there's sacrifice that is required. Billy Graham's doctor, and he was considered the greatest evangelist of the 20th century, his doctor said to him, because his health was not good, that a 45-minute message equals about 8 hours of physical labor. In other words, in that 45-minute message, you are pouring so much adrenaline into your body that it is hard work. There's stress upon you. And that even includes a Bible study or even one-on-one. You have to be attentive. You have to be using your mind. You have to be answering questions. You're interacting with people. You're connecting. It is work. It's hard work. And so those who labor in preaching and teaching, they are worthy of double honor. Now, he uses two different words here, preaching and in teaching. By preaching, he means more of a general sense of the word that would include exhortation, admonition, and it would include evangelizing or gospeling. This word preaching probably includes both believers and unbelievers, so it has that broader feel to it. The second word is teaching, which is distinct but similar, but it's more specialized. It's authoritative instruction in doctrine, but aimed at believers. And so by using these two words, Paul covers all dimensions of public discourse. Now, I want to remind you of something, that in this church at Ephesus, there was heresy. And Paul has to send Timothy there, chapter 1, verse 3. He says, I want you to remain at Ephesus to stop. He has a job he gives him, and he charges him. You stop certain teachers. They are false teachers. And it has caused chaos and confusion. And so the church needs restoration, it needs correction. What better correction than solid biblical teaching? And that's why these elders have to be honored. It's probably true that as the widows in chapter 5, verses 3 to 16 were neglected, and families were actually taking their widows and pushing them off on the church so the church would support them, because of the chaos created by the false teachers, the elders were being neglected, or maybe they were even being despised because of the conflict. You can imagine when heresy comes into the church, the confusion that is caused, and the problems, and the tensions, and the fighting, and the suspicion. You can just imagine. Maybe you've seen it in your own church. It's an ugly thing. And so Paul is restoring order to the church. And in restoring order, the elders have to be properly acknowledged. And they have to be cared for by the church. Just like the widows have to be cared for, the elders have to be cared for by the church. So he says here that they are to be considered worthy of double honor. Very strong terms. It has the idea of rightfully deserving. Or we could say they're entitled to. The elders who are leading well are entitled to double honor. It's an obligation to them. It's a responsibility to them. They're not to be treated lightly. Now, because of the problems in this church, it appears to me that there needs to be a fresh evaluation of the elders, or even a reevaluation of who they are, their importance to the church, but particularly those who are laboring in preaching and teaching. They are so important at this time. This protects the church. It brings health to the church. And this is what the church needed above all else. In fact, in the fourth chapter, he says to Timothy, he says, Timothy, I want you to devote yourself to the reading of Scripture, teaching and exhortation. Well, he's saying the same thing here about the elders, and the church has to acknowledge this. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 20, he tells us about two men, Hymenaeus and Alexander, who he delivered over to Satan so they would learn not to blaspheme, in other words, teach this false doctrine. Many expositors think these two men are the ringleaders of this and may have well have been elders in the church, and that's why in the verses to follow, we'll see about elder discipline and how to restore an elder. So there was chaos here, and in this chaos, it definitely affected a crisis in the leadership. Now, the main point is this, in which we'll stop, and that is this. The congregation has a responsibility to its elders. Normally, we think of the elders' responsibility to the church, and we usually criticize our elders because they're not doing the job well enough. I want to remind you, this passage speaks to the church. The church has a responsibility. And there are other passages that speak of the responsibility of the people to love the elders and to respect them and hold them in high esteem and to submit to them and obey them. Well, in this passage, it is to care for them in a very hands-on, material way. They are to receive double honor for their labor in the church, because this particular labor is essential to the health and protection and the growth of the church. And I say the same thing is true in our churches today. We are in desperate need of elders who know their Bibles and know Christian doctrine and can teach it in Bible studies and in home groups and individually and at the church meeting with all the saints. We need desperately elders who are laboring, notice, strongly, to the point of weariness, working hard at the word and at proclaiming the word. We need this. Let's make sure we care for such elders.